Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Let me tell you, the best shepherds are those that lead by example. He goes before them. This is how shepherding is done. He loves his sheep, he knows them by name, and he books it and they follow. Because they've learned that dude takes us to green pasture. He leads us beside still waters. Like, he has our best in his mind for us.
What comes to mind when you think of the qualities of a great leader? Strength, power, influence? Well, Pastor Michael shares that Jesus was a great leader in many ways, not just because of those reasons, but more importantly, because he loves you, his sheep. And because of that love, he can be trusted to lead you as the good shepherd. So when you lose your way and don't know which way to turn, rest assured, Jesus has not left or forsaken you. He will lead you back to greener pastures and still waters. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of John chapter 10 as he begins his message, The Shepherd.
We're just going to think about Jesus today. Is that okay with everybody? Would you pray, Father, thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus today. And Lord, I pray that as we are here because we are in love with you, because you've captured our hearts. Lord, today as we think about you, as we look at you, as we gaze upon you, God, that each and every one of us would fall deeper in love with you, even than we are right now. There's something awesome, God, that happens when we just think about you, when we look at you. You are good. You are faithful. All the things, you're marvelous. All the things we sang, God, you're everything to us today. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this one aspect of you being a shepherd, you would reveal more of who you are. Not that we would grow in head knowledge, but that we might fall deeper in love. We love you, God. Give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so thinking about just the shepherd, and this is where I'm going today. I won't talk very long, just a couple hours, but I wanted to look at this again, the idea, you know, the Bible has all kinds of names for Jesus, and he's referred to as all kinds of different things, but one of them is a shepherd. And if you were like me when I was a kid, I had a picture on my wall of Jesus had a baby lamb over his shoulders. You guys seen that? And that idea of him being a good shepherd is a cool idea, but not one really that we grasp too much today in our culture. So we're just going to take a second to think about this. And probably the most famous passage that talks in Scripture about Jesus being a shepherd is found in John chapter 10. And so we're just going to go through 15 verses very quickly, and we're going to look at the Lord a little bit. But let me set it up and tell you that this is going to come as a shock to some of you, but chapter 10 of John follows chapter 9. Chapter 9 is an interesting story. It's all about Jesus finding this poor beggar who's blind. And Jesus goes up to him and uses mud or whatever, but he heals him. He gives this guy his sight, and everybody freaks out about it. You can read it later. But the religious elite are very upset by the fact that Jesus has healed this guy on the Sabbath day. We've talked a little bit about that in the past and how they felt about the Sabbath, but they're upset, and you can read about it. But to me, it's an awesome thing, as I was reading the shepherd chapter, chapter 10, that it's preceded by chapter 9, because what you have here is not just Jesus doing a teaching on being the good shepherd in chapter 10. What you have is him exemplifying what a good shepherd looks like in chapter 9. Does that make sense? Here he is. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 18, I think, Jesus tells a parable, and he says, a good shepherd is someone who would leave the 99 and go after the one. Remember that? It's like, listen, if he's good, man, doesn't he care about the sheep that's lost? And this is exactly what Jesus does in chapter 9. He doesn't care about the 99 in a sense. He doesn't care about the religious elite and pleasing everybody. He goes after the one. I love that. And so it's immediately in that context, following what Jesus has done, going after the one, that he does this incredible teaching in John chapter 10. So we're going to very slowly go through it, and then we'll be done. Sound good? Verse 1, Jesus says this, right after he healed the one, he says, truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. I love that. Verse 1, Jesus mentions a sheep pen. Some of your translations may say a sheep fold or something like that. Again, maybe we don't understand this in our context today, so let me just explain to you what he's talking about. In those days, outside of larger cities, for instance, outside of Jerusalem, there would always be shepherds. And I've been there, but just to the east of Old Jerusalem, there is the Kidron Valley, and then there is the Mount of Olives with the Garden of Gethsemane. And then just over the Mount of Olives, if you're standing at the Mount of Olives looking on that hill, you can look to the west and you can see Old Jerusalem. But if you turn around, you can see endless the wilderness, the Jordan wilderness. It just goes on and on and on and on. And there's lots of stories about John the Baptist and different things out there. But when you stand there, you can look out and you can see today, you can see shepherds walking around. In that culture, right outside of large cities, they would have these sheepfolds or these sheep pens. And they would be community pens. They would be very large circles built with rocks that they would stack on top of each other in a circular deal, pretty large. And I say they were community because all the shepherds that were watching their sheep in, during the day, taking them out the pasture or whatever, would bring them in at night so that the shepherds could go to sleep, and they would put them into these sheep pens. There was one entrance, one way in, one way out, and it was usually a large wooden door, a gate that was there. And that gate would be manned by a gatekeeper who would open it, and the shepherds would bring all the sheep in. They would go in there, and then they would go into town, and if they had parents that lived there, they would stay at home, or maybe they would get a hotel or whatever, and the next morning they would come out and get them. So these sheep pens is what Jesus is referring to here when he says, hey, yeah, there's bad guys, and they want to come in and get the sheep at times. And the only way they could do that is to climb over this rock wall that's usually 6 to 8 feet tall. And they would have to do that, and they would have to get by the gatekeeper to be able to do that. So this is what he's talking about. Let's go on to verse 3. It says, the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. That is the shepherd's voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. I love this. And there's a lot here that I'm not going to have too much time to go into, but let me just tell you this. There's a gatekeeper. He allows people to go in and out. In the morning, the shepherds would come and they would get their sheep, and the gatekeeper would recognize them. He would open the door. And then you think, well, there's all these sheep in here. There's all these different flocks in there. How would the shepherd know which sheep are his? Well, the Bible's very clear, and it tells us that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. So literally, and one of my very favorite authors, she is so awesome. Her name is Margaret Feinberg. And she's written a lot of great books, but one of them is called Scouting the Divine. And it's a great book. And she talks about a third of the book is all talking about how she went to Israel and interviewed shepherds and shepherdesses and sees how what I'm about to tell you is so true. But they would go in the morning, and the shepherd would call. He had to call like a yodel or a song or something. And his sheep would come out to him. The other sheep stay in there, but his sheep recognize his voice, and they come out to him, and he counts them, and then he's out, and he takes them out for the day. Then the next guy comes in, and he goes, la, 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 whatever his song is, and they and his sheep come out until all the sheep are gone for the day. Isn't that amazing? I just think that is the craziest thing, and this is what Jesus is referring to here, that the sheep recognize and know his voice. I also love, really quickly, where it says that he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. In verse 4, it says, he goes ahead of them. Let me tell you, the best shepherds are those that lead by example. He goes before them. This is how shepherding is done. He loves his sheep. He knows them by name, and he books it, and they follow because they've learned that that dude takes us to green pasture. He leads us beside still waters. Like, he has our best in his mind for us. So they trust him, and he leads them. He doesn't drive them. He's not a cowboy with a whip you know, behind them, you know. That's not what shepherds do. I remember I was reading this week, and there was a guy in the 50s and 60s went to Israel, and he knew the scripture really, really well. He was a Bible scholar, and he goes there, and he looks out there, and he sees this shepherd, and the shepherd is behind the sheep, and he's got a whip, and he's cracking the whip. And this guy is like disappointed. He's like, because he knew scripture. He's like, I thought shepherds were supposed to lead. They weren't supposed to be driving. I'm so disappointed to see that this dude is beating the sheep like this. And the guy he was with says, oh, no, you have it all wrong. That's not a shepherd. That's a butcher. That's a butcher. Shepherds don't beat the sheep. Shepherds lead by example. And that's not just Jesus, who is the good shepherd, who, by the way, Philippians chapter 2 says he came and he didn't consider equality with God something to grasp, but he gave all of that up, even to the point of death, Philippians 2 says. He knows the struggles that you're going through because he gets it. He's not just God up there on a throne. He became a man and he dwelt among us, John chapter 1 tells us, verse 14, right? This is our God who has led the way. Like, he showed us how to do this thing by living it as an example for us. And by the way, each of you, if you're a single mom, or a dad, or you're the shepherd of your own home or whatever, let me tell you something. The best way to lead your flock is by example. Our kids don't do very well when we just tell them what to do and then we don't do it ourselves. Amen? I just love that. He is a good shepherd. He goes ahead and the sheep know him because they know his voice. Let's keep going. Verse 5. They will never follow a stranger, Jesus says. Instead, they will run away from him. Because they don't know the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but here's the disciples again. They didn't understand what he was telling them. They didn't get the fact that he was explaining to them about himself. So he's about to explain it to them. He's about to go into a little bit more detail here, and it's pretty cool. Look at verse 7. Jesus said again, I love the word again there, because Jesus has to say things a few times to me. You know what I mean? It's okay. Again, Lord? Yeah. Michael, I'm going to have you circle the mountain until you get the lesson. Anyway, Jesus said again, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. This is interesting, right? You're like, okay, Jesus, Mr. Metaphor, you're the shepherd. And there's a gatekeeper mentioned here too. And now you're the gate. Like, are you all these things? What are you really? Like, this doesn't really jive with us. We don't really totally understand it. But let me again explain to you about shepherding in Bible times. I told you that there was a community pen that everybody would kind of go to. But in summer, in the fall, those shepherds, the sun beats down hardcore in that part of the world, in the Holy Land. And so it gets really, really hot and the grass becomes scarce. And so the shepherds can't just take their sheep around the hills of the city. Many times they've got to go much further and they got to go to wherever the water is. Because where the water is, then the grass is going to be there. And so the shepherds in the summer, in the fall, would not be able to stay on those hills. And they would have to go sometimes 2, 3, 4 days away from the big city. And when they did that, obviously they couldn't come back at night and stay in the hotel. So what they would do is they would make these makeshift pens just for their flock. You with me? And they would gather tumbleweed type things, brambles, different stuff. If there was a big rock or like a hillside, they would use part of that. But they would make a pen for their sheep. Now, obviously, they didn't carry a big wooden door with them. So there was no door. So there was just an opening where the sheep, he would herd them into his little makeshift pen. And then they would stay there overnight and then they could come out the next day. He himself, the shepherd, would lay down in that opening. Why? So that sheep couldn't get out at night. They would have to step over his body to get out. And no wolf or lion or anything like that that would want to get in. They would have to go through him first to get there. Does that make sense? So when Jesus says, I'm the door in some of your translations, or I'm the gate here, this is what he's talking about. It's like, you guys understand shepherding. You get what's going down here. Let me tell you, I am the gate. I'm the one. Now he goes on to explain a little bit more of what that means. I love that. By the way, the gatekeeper in verse 3, I believe is a picture not of Jesus. I believe it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And this is why. Because the gatekeeper opens the door for the shepherd to be able to go in. Does that make sense? No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, gang, is to woo people, to bring conviction to people, to introduce you and I to the shepherd. Does that make sense? And so this, I believe that's the gatekeeper. Verse 7. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. This is a huge, seemingly egotistical thing that Jesus says. Everybody else that's ever come on the scene to tell you what life is all about is ripping you off. Just me. I'm the gate. I'm the door. He would say in another place, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Not just I'm teaching you how to find the truth. He's saying, I am the truth. I am the gate. And anybody else, any philosopher, any intellectual thinker, and by the way, not just before Jesus, but at the time he was speaking here, he's speaking to them, the people that you're hearing that are telling you what life is all about are ripping you off if they're not in line with what I'm teaching you. And I would say subsequently, the same is true for all those that would come after Jesus. See, we live in this culture today where everything's relative. Like, dude, just believe what you want to believe. It's cool, man. I worship the grass. I worship the trees, and my church is nature. How many of you have heard that? Right? All the time. And Jesus is saying, let me tell you something. I don't care how good it sounds. If it doesn't line up with what I'm teaching you, who I am, it's going to rip you off. It's going to rip you off. This is such a big thing, man, if we could grasp this, you guys. The enemy of God wants to rip people off. And listen, sometimes, you know, you read Socrates or Plato or whatever, some philosopher, and you think, man, there's some good stuff here. Yeah, there is. There's always some truth there. Everybody's got a little bit of truth, but it's always mixed with a little bit of poison. There's a little bit of arsenic in there that gets your eyes diverted from Jesus. Jesus is not just a door. He's not just a gate. He's not just a way. He's not just a truth, which is what everybody is shoving down our throats right now. He is the gate. And anybody else is a thief and a robber, he says. I love this. But the sheep didn't listen to them. The sheep that know the shepherd's voice, dude, they don't listen. Like, this is the coolest, one of the coolest things about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that he gives us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And he gives us this detector of deception. It's a deception detector. And I can't even take credit for it. It's almost towards the back of the Bible in a little book called 1 John. Chapter 2, I think around verse 27, he says this amazing thing, and it's in the context of, watch out, there's deceivers that are going to come your way. But in 2:27, 1 John 2:27, he says, there is an anointing. The same anointing that Jesus had, you have to be a deception detector. Like, you ever notice that? Like, you might turn on the radio or you hear somebody talking and there's something inside of you that's like, nah. Red flag! Like, that ain't right. Even if it's someone you love and respect or whatever, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, that doesn't seem right. That's the Spirit of God inside of us. Like the sheep, they heard these voices, but they didn't listen to them. The sheep. Those who are following the Master. And by the way, the question often comes up, how, you know, because the wolves are coming to, you know, and Paul even uses that kind of a visual idea that wolves will come into the church and try to deceive even the very elect, right? Like, that's going to happen in the end days, which is, it's happening, by the way. But how do you recognize a sheep versus a wolf? You know, if a wolf's in sheep's clothing, how do you recognize? Very easy. Watch what they eat. If they graze on grass and follow the good shepherd, chances are they're a sheep. But if they eat sheep, devour the sheep. I love that the sheep didn't listen to him. Verse 9, he says, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Isn't that the word saved awesome? He'll be saved. Be saved. Like, it's just me. You want to find salvation? It's Jesus. There's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. It is Jesus Christ. It is Christ in you, Paul said, which is the hope of glory. It's him. He's the only one. And I love that. And it says, I'm the gate, and they will go in and they'll go out and find pasture. What are we talking about there? You go in to the pen at night so that you're protected, right? You go out in the day to find pasture, to be fed. This is what the shepherd does. He provides protection. This is salvation, right? There's protection in those that follow the master. And then he goes out and he feeds. He sustains. Amen. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Again, the thief has one job. Please hear this. One goal, and that's to rip you off. That's it. He just wants to destroy whatever Jesus wants to do in your life. He'll get you to not pay attention to the things that he's doing by his spirit in your life, leading you. You'll walk by people that God's wanting you maybe to minister to. He wants to rip you and me off. He wants to rip churches off. This is his whole goal. But Jesus says, that's not my goal. My goal, man, is that you have life, dude. Like life more abundantly. Like I want to give you purpose for your life. I want to give you meaning for your life. I want to give you eternal life. That's what I want. That's what the good shepherd wants for us. I love that. He's verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. He says it again. I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus lays his life down for the sheep. Like the shepherds of old that would lay down in the way in case a wolf came or a lion came. Laying down his life to make a fight. Look at what he goes on to say here. He says, the hired hand, since he's not a shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, he leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. Wow. This happens because he's a hired hand. He doesn't give a rip about the sheep. We have this today, right? People that are doing it for a paycheck, or they're doing it for their ego, or they're doing it for whatever reason, but they're not doing it because they love the sheep. Jesus wasn't like that, and Jesus proved it to us by laying down his own life for us, right? While we were yet sinners, the Bible said, Christ died for us. He loves us. Amen? Like, that's it. He lays his life down for the sheep. I love that. You know, the Good Shepherd, this is all titled in John 10 here, the Good Shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, mentions Jesus, how he is interceding for the saints, and it calls him the Great Shepherd, which I always thought was interesting. The Good Shepherd in John 10 lays his life down for the sheep, but in Hebrews 13, the Great Shepherd is the one who is risen, and he is interceding for you and I. And then you get to 1 Peter 5:4, which I showed you earlier. And 1 Peter 5:4 calls him the chief shepherd. So you got the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. You got the great shepherd who is risen and ever lives to intercede for us. And then you've got the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5. And it says he is the coming king who is going to come back and rule and reign.
You've been listening to Pastor Michael Kraft and Burning Hearts. We're a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you at our services on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study. For directions to the church building and times of the service, come check us out online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to learn more about the church and what we believe, head on over to the website. While you're there, you can fill out an email form with your questions or comments, or you can join with us in spreading the gospel through financial support. Here at Burning Hearts, we know it can be intimidating to try to share your faith. If you've ever felt insecure or fearful when you think about sharing the gospel, we have a great tool for you. It's called Something Missing, and you can find it on our website. It's a simple tool to help you get over the tongue-tied feeling and calm the butterflies in your stomach. We want to do everything we can to help you share the gospel. Come on over and add another tool to your tool bag. You never know when your opportunity will open up to share, and having tools available to you can help you take the chance. Being prepared can make an eternal difference in the lives of the people you love. Well, that's all we have time for today. Come back next time as we work together to stoke the coals of our burning hearts.